Merry Christmas. Isn't Christmas such a joyous occasion, a joyous season? I mean, look at you all. What a view it is from up here. I see lots of smiling faces, and I'm hoping that even by the end of our time this evening, I have more smiling faces. It's such a joyous occasion. You can almost sense that Christmas is in the air. Even if you go out in Dubai, you can sense that the time of the year is here. But really, what is the reason for the joy? Well, I want to argue that the joy is there because Christmas is a reminder of the greatest rescue mission in history. A reminder of the greatest rescue mission. Have you ever seen the faces of family and friends of those who've been rescued after a successful mission? Recently, I read about 41 workers who were stuck in a tunnel in the Himalayas in India. They had been trapped in there for 17 days. 17 days. One woman said, "We are happy and feel relieved. I have told everyone in the family that he has come out," said Rajni Tudu, whose husband Surendra, who had been stuck amongst the trapped men. Reuters reported, the nation came together. The prime minister, the opposition leaders, billionaires, retired cricketers, all of them celebrating this successful mission. Tonight, for a few minutes, I want to talk to you about an even greater rescue mission. And to help us think about that, please turn in your bulletins, the handouts that you have, to page 18. You see a text of scripture printed on page 18. Or if you have your Bibles, please turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. Or page 18 of your bulletins. The text reads, "The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost." From this text, I want us to see that Christians celebrate Christmas because of Christ. Christmas, it's about Christ. We will consider Jesus Christ by asking three questions. So three questions for us in our time this evening. Firstly, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Secondly, what did Jesus come to do? What did he come to do? And thirdly, why does Jesus matter to you? So who is Jesus? What did Jesus come to do? And why does Jesus matter to you? You can take notes on the page, on page 18. It might be helpful for you to track along as we go through our time together. So who is Jesus? Just by looking at this text, the Bible text in front of us, we learn that Jesus is the Christ. It says Christ Jesus. Now Christ is not Jesus' surname. I know some people might think that. But rather, it's his title, the Christ, which means the Messiah or the Anointed One. See, for all of history, the world as we know it had been looking forward to a rescuer, to a Messiah, or the Anointed One. This is what we sang in our very first song, "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus." This is a hymn from centuries ago, and for a long time, we'd be expecting Jesus. But why did the world need a rescuer? That's the question. Why did we need a rescuer? Well, to answer this, we need to go back to the very beginning of time. Genesis 1, verse 1, the very first book in the Bible, tells us that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Everything starts from that point. And we should not miss that. Because God created everything, including us, including you and including me. God has the right to tell us how to live. After all, it's his creation. I wonder, how would you describe God? Good, compassionate, loving, forgiving. Yes, that is true. I mean, the Bible in Exodus 34 actually tells us that. God describes himself as merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, forgiving transgression and sin. But in the very same verses, God also said he will by no means clear the guilty. I think that's quite different from what a lot of people think about who God is. See, this holy and righteous God does not leave the guilty unpunished. And this truth is needed in order for us to understand why it is that mankind needed a savior. See, when God created the very first human beings, Adam and Eve, they were created to live fruitfully under his righteous, loving rule and find the ultimate satisfaction in God. But when our first parents decided to rebel against God, they didn't just break a rule. They corrupted their very nature and declared rebellion against God and against God's gracious rule. They were denying his authority over their lives. And from that time forth, not just Adam and Eve, but the Bible tells us that all of us, every single one of us in this room, are guilty of sin. This is why a rescuer was needed, one who would somehow make it possible for sinful man to be reconciled to a holy God. Look again at the verse on the top of page 18. It says, Christ Jesus came. He came. This means he already existed for all eternity. This was not some sort of plan B that God had to do after man broke commands, but this was planned from even before the beginning of time. Jesus came from heaven itself. He was with God the Father from eternity past. He is infinite. He is mighty. Yet he is personal and gracious. And he became human like us. And that's what we celebrate at Christmas. Look at the verse again. It also says that he came where? He came into the world. He came from outside this sin-polluted world. He was not simply a person who was very religious or merely a prophet. No, this was the God-man himself, who came from outside and into the world. See, that baby that was born on Christmas Day would actually grow up to live a perfect life in total obedience to God the Father. This Jesus who came into the world was and is fully God. Jesus was born to die in the place of his followers. He took upon himself the punishment we deserved. And this is who Jesus is. But let's think more about what he actually came to do. Excuse me. Which brings us to our second point. What did Jesus actually come to do? Look again at the verse. It says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He came into the world to save sinners. Friends, this is amazing. Amazing good news that we want to tell of you today. This is the reason we celebrate Christmas. Jesus came into the world to do what? To save sinners. Thank you. Look again at the verse. One of the verses we read earlier. From Luke 2, verse 10. It says, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Jesus was born to be a Savior to save sinners. Now, maybe you're wondering, who exactly is a sinner? And if this need for saving even applies to you. Let's think about it. See, if we are honest, we know we are guilty of missing the mark. And this is basically what sin is, missing the mark. At times, we know exactly what is wrong, but we do it. Or at times, we know what is right, but we don't do it. Again, that is sin. See, friend, whether you're from America or from Zimbabwe, from Brazil or Yemen, from China or Mexico, from India or Russia or anywhere else that's represented in this room, we need to stop and think about your life for a moment. See, friend, you were created for God to find ultimate satisfaction in Him and to live under His perfect rule and authority, just like it was in the very beginning. But can you honestly say that God is the authority in your life? Think about your affections. What drives them? What makes you get up every day in the morning? Is it to make much of God? Or is it about yourself, your status, your wants, your needs? Is it about making God's name great? Or is it about making your own name great? Making a name for yourself? Or even think about the good things that you do. Can you honestly say that your motives are pure 100% of the time? That really, you're doing all these good things to help others? Isn't there a part of you that secretly enjoys the praise of men? Or even the sense of superiority that comes from being able to help others and having others look up to you? Or think of this. Think of this example. If we were to plug your brain into the Burj Khalifa, you know, the facade that's projected, and we were to play your thoughts, maybe even just from the past week, and we'll put the sound on full blast so that the whole of Dubai can hear, what would be the result of that? I don't know about you, but I would be very scared. See, friends, this God that we're talking about knows even our very thoughts. The Bible even says it, that God would judge even the thoughts of man. He knows our very hearts. And maybe from our verse, 1 Timothy 1:15, maybe you're beginning to identify yourself with the Apostle Paul, the one who wrote this verse, who under God's inspiration wrote these words. See, Paul was a special messenger of God. He acknowledges that he is the foremost of sinners. Other Bible translations say the chief of sinners. No human truly knows his sin as he does. So much so that he calls himself the chief of them. Perhaps this is beginning to sink even in your own heart. You're thinking about your own life. See, friends, God in his wonderful beauty, you and I were created as humans, as his crowning jewel of creation. We were created in his image to reflect him. When people see us, they're supposed to be seeing something of who God is, something of what God is like. If our thoughts are to be projected on Burj Khalifa, people should say, like, wow, what a great God, when our thoughts are projected. But as we've seen, we have fallen short. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We have all missed the mark. We are all sinners. So we see there is a problem. See, God, who declares himself to be holy and just, can't simply sweep evil or sin under the carpet. A God who loves good must hate evil. The Bible teaches that the wages of sin is death. A holy God cannot be with the sinful people. And the Bible teaches that the final destiny for all those who are unbelieving, all those who are sinners, is eternal, active judgment in a place called hell. And this is exactly what every person in this room needs saving from. And that is why Christmas is such a joyous occasion, because we celebrate the Savior. We celebrate the birth of Him who would come to save us from our sins. Friends, this is our greatest need. See, had it been political, God would have sent a politician. Had it been monetary or economical, you would have sent an economist. Or even, this is more relatable today, with COP28 going on right now, had our greatest need been environmental, you would have sent an environmentalist. But as we see, our greatest problem is this pending judgment of God that hangs on us. So God sent a Savior. Which brings us to our final point. Why does this matter to you? Well, look at the text again. The text tells us, right at the beginning, it says, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. Friends, this is a matter of life and death. In case you missed it, your eternity hangs in the balance. The passage tells us action must be taken. Your soul, eternal soul, is at stake. And I would urge you, even this evening, to consider this Christ Jesus. Earlier, I mentioned the 41 workers who were trapped in the tunnel in the Himalayas. When they were in that tunnel for all those days, it must have been pretty desperate. I mean, they couldn't do anything. Whether they tried to drill themselves out, they couldn't do that. They were needy. They were helpless. They had to look outside for help, outside of themselves, for help from outside to be rescued. And this pretty much describes our state apart from Jesus. See, friends, we are helpless. We cannot do enough good deeds to cover our bad. We are morally bankrupt and cannot save ourselves. We too need to look outside of ourselves. We need to be saved by one who is fit to do it. And that is who Jesus Christ is. This week I asked ChatGPT what the top three components of a great rescue mission are. This is what ChatGPT had to say. Thorough planning and intelligence. Effective communication and coordination. Strong leadership and command structure. Oh, friends, we have something even greater in the Bible. See, God the Father planned this great rescue mission even before time began. God the Son, Jesus Christ, accomplished the way for this rescue to take place through His obedient life, sacrificial death, and powerful resurrection. And He now calls on all people everywhere to repent and believe upon His name. So friends, this is why we celebrate Christmas. It is because of who Jesus is. It is because of what Jesus came to do. And it matters to you because this rescue mission is still ongoing as we speak. Even now, Jesus Christ is holding out His hand to you, reaching out to you in this tunnel of sin. All you need to do is to grab His hand by faith, and you too can become a child of God. You too can be rescued. You too can know true life and have eternal life with Him forever. And friends, this mission will end at any time. So receive this offer today. Talk to the person who invited you to church to come today. Talk to them. Learn more about who this Jesus is. and know about the true joy that Christians have. This true joy that even when sickness comes, even when trials come, even when you lose everything physically, you still have true joy because you have a right relationship with the living God through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So come out of this tunnel, be rescued, and seek shelter in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Oh Lord God, we thank you for sending Christ Jesus into the world to save sinners. We praise you, Lord, that through his life, death, and resurrection, all those who are lost can be found. Father, we pray that even if there are any here, even this evening, who do not know you, that, oh Lord, you soften their hearts, that they too would grab hold of Christ by faith, repent of their sin, and follow you, O Lord. O Lord, we thank you for that this time of the year, the carols we get to sing, the time we get to reflect much on the birth of the Savior. We praise you, Lord, for providing this for us. In your precious name we pray. Amen.